so good to us. What an honor it is that he allowed us to come here and be in his presence this morning, just to worship him and give him all the glory. I tell you, that song, man, wow. Just when you think those walls he kicked down, especially in my life, that's why I was just going over that in my head as it was singing. It gets overwhelming. His love is reckless love, never ending. I tell you, the lies that he tore down in my life, it's amazing. It's amazing what he does. We're going to, last couple of Saturdays ago, we had the tour about in Ezekiel. The Ezekiel 1 was the reading, and it's talking about the glory of Yahweh. And that's what I want to talk about, because there's so much being said in that passage. And it's hard to even explain it, exactly what all is going on. But I'm going to try my best this morning to make some sense of it. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to read it first. Ezekiel 1, starting with verse 1. And then we're going to start on the slides and try to explain each verse and the significance, the what it means. So starting with Ezekiel 1, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month." And during the study, when it talks about the 30th year, there were so many different speculations on exactly what that 30th year meant. But if you go to Numbers right quick, Numbers 4. Numbers 4:3, it kind of explains it for us. It says, "From 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation, this shall be the service of the sons of Kohat in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things." So in that, it's talking about he was 30 years old. It's because in a Jewish, according to the Jewish custom, that's when they started their priesthood, at the age of 30. And it says on that, "And as I was among the captives by the river, the Shebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw the visions of Elohim." Now, out of all the prophets in the Old Testament, Ezekiel was the only one, out of all the visions that the prophets had, Ezekiel was the only one that the heavens opened up to. Nowhere else in the Old Testament, Moses, none of them seen the heavens opened up. But we see in the New Testament that in Matthew's account, Jesus, the heavens opened up to Yeshua. In Acts to Stephen records in the Acts account seeing that the heavens opened up. And to John in Revelations, we have an account that the heavens opened up. But out of all the prophets in the Old Testament, this was the only one that the heavens opened up for, was Ezekiel. It says, "In the fifth day of the month," verse 2, "which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of Yahweh came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzai, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and the hand of Yahweh was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, and a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearances. They had the likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the faces of a man. in the face of a lion. And on the right side they had four in the face of an ox, and on the left side they four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went, every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned, not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures was with four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. They four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they went upon their four sides, and they turned, not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was at the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two which covered on this side, and every one had two which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they laid down their wings, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood, and let them down, and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of the amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even upward. And from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Ezekiel, that's a lot of stuff that he saw right there. But it all pertains to the glory, is what he's explaining. That's the glory of Yahweh is what he saw. And it's a call. It's a call because Israel was, he seen their wickedness. And I'm going through this. I was going through this again this morning, and I added more slides. So it was after Brother Nolan sent it down to the big computer. So you're going to have a couple of slides that's not up there because, I mean, as you're studying, it's so hard to stop trying to make sense of what his word is. Just so amazing. You can't, there's no end to it. You can add and add and add, and it's never ending. So the first couple of slides is the great significance of this call in Ezekiel's vision of Elohim's glory lies in the fact that it came in Babylon, the land of Israel's captivity, far from the honor of precincts of the Holy Land. Elohim was not through with them, and wonderful things were yet planned for Israel. So they was captive. They was in captivity when he gave Ezekiel this vision. This great vision of Elohim's glory demonstrated that Elohim was in no manner limited. He was the Elohim, not only of the so-called Holy Land, but of all the world. And that his presence was just as real in Babylon as it has ever been, even in the Holy Temple. And this is the introduction. In the days of Ezekiel, Israel had turned away from Elohim in 605 BC. Babylon defeated Judah, putting the nation under their control. Daniel, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had been taken captive to Babylon. Daniel 1 through 3. When Nebuchadnezzar tried to secure the Judah's submission to Babylon, Judah refused to submit to the Babylonian authority. Hoping to forge an alliance with Egypt, they rebelled. Nebuchadnezzar attacked the city again. This time he took more hostages, including the new king, Jehoiachin, captive along with Ezekiel. Nebuchadnezzar installed a new king, Zedekiah, Jehoiachin's uncle. The captives were settled in Babylon along the Shebar River, a branch from the Euphrates. Ezekiel was one of the captives taken to Babylon. The glory of Yahweh. This is the vision that he's seen. He's seen the glory of Yahweh, which is powerful, powerful, powerful. In Ezekiel 1, in chapter 1, Ezekiel describes what he sees. He sees Elohim appear in great glory, in human form, seated on his throne in the midst of the cherubim. Ezekiel called in chapters 1 through 3. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month of the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Shebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of Elohim. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of Yahweh came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzai, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and the hand of Yahweh was upon him. Now the first part of Ezekiel's vision of Elohim is his description of the cherubim, the living creatures, which are in the presence of Elohim, the glory of Yahweh. The cherubim, chapter 1, 4 through 14. And I look, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Now, this whirlwind, we seen some storm. I heard other people call them a tempête. Man, that tempête, it gets nasty. You could imagine this whirlwind, this tempête that was brewing up that he's seen in this. This vision, I don't know, this thing would probably scare me if I was to see something like this. Verse 4, Ezekiel sees a storm cloud gathering to the north, a whirlwind like a tornado of fire radiating out from the midst of the cloud. He describes fire emanating from the midst of the cloud as having the color of amber. The Hebrew word is hasmel, and is only used here and in verse 27. The word refers to glow metal, to glow of metal like brass. Verse 5. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, four living creatures that Ezekiel begins to describe, these creatures, which are later called cherubim in chapter 10. The Hebrew word for creatures is yekshet, which means living, alive, and can be translated as living being, creature, or beast. The description of these beings parallels the description in Revelations 4 and 5. And that's, you can go check it out, and it all matches with the same vision that Ezekiel's having, which John's having in 4 and 5. They had the likeness of a man. Ezekiel is describing what he sees, and their form was human or like man. Angels and Elohim himself is described in human form. The Ark of the Covenant is a model of the throne of Elohim. The carved angels are cherubs covering the throne. And we see that in Exodus 25, 17 through 20. If you want to turn to Exodus 25, 17 through 20. You don't have to, but because I have it right here and I'll read it. 17, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the 1 end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. Verse 6, and everyone had 4 faces, and everyone had 4 wings. Each one had 4 faces. The description of the heavenly beings is one of the hardest images for the reader to grasp, since nothing like it really exists that we know of. Ezekiel described them as having the appearance of man, but with 4 faces. They had 4 wings. 2 wings were connected to the other cherubs, and 2 wings were used to cover themselves in the presence of the glory of Yahweh. So even in this vision, even these cherubs, because they couldn't even look at the glory of that. They had to cover their face because that's how powerful his glory is. Verse 7, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf foot, and they sparkle like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their 4 sides. And they 4 had their faces in their wings. Now, the color of that burnished brass, I was thinking about how when I worked with YNS for a couple months, I didn't like being away from home, so I couldn't. That wasn't my job, the crew boat job, being away. But anyway, we had to shine the brass. And it was the compass. It was a big compass. And, I mean, they wanted their brass shining, so we had to shine it. And that's what I was thinking about, how this brass must have looked in that vision. That burnished brass, that color, how bright. Because after you shine it, you can really look. There's so much reflection. And you can look at yourself in this brass to do whatever. If you want to put makeup on or whatever, that's how shiny this brass was on their boats. It was really, really nice. And they really kept it up. And that was one of the things that you had to do as a deckhand. So I was like, man, I wonder how that brass must have looked that he's seen. It must have been incredible. Verse 8, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their 4 sides, and they 4 had their faces and their wings. Verse 7 and 8, their legs. Ezekiel described their legs as straight, meaning they were standing. Their feet were like polished, burnished bronze with hooves, calf's feet. The hands, each of the 4 cherubs and human arms, along with 2 sets of wings. Verse 9, their wings were joined one to another. They turned, not when they went. They went, everyone, straight forward. Did not turn. With their wings touching and working together as one, the creatures did not turn, but whatever direction they were moving. Cherub and leading in lead became the lead angel looking forward. Verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. And they four also had the face of an eagle. Again, I was like, okay, I can't put all this in here. Because, I mean, even the significance of these, he didn't just choose any animals. Notice the man. The man is dominant of the earth over all these creatures, first of all. Then he took a lion. What a lion is. He's like the king of the jungle, the main beast. Then he had the face of an ox. Now, the ox, we know back in the days, that was the main animal that was slain for peace offerings and just different type of offerings was the ox. And then you had the eagle, and you think, well, why eagle? Because the eagle is the dominant bird in the air, just because of its speed. They said an eagle can even attack animals that's on land. So he uses even the significance of these four faces that he made, that he gave this vision, is a whole study on itself. It's powerful. I have a couple of. That's what it looked like. Which, if you read it, you know, the man's face would be facing you, and it would be on the right side, the lion, the left side, and the eagle would be in the back. Verse 11, it says, thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of everyone joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went straight, everyone straight forward. Whether the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. So they couldn't go right or left just because they was led to go straight. They was led by the spirit. They just couldn't turn whenever they wanted to turn. And I have another picture of what the two cherubims on the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, looked like. You barely could see the two wings covering their bodies, but you got the two wings that's up touching the other two wings. In verse 10 and 12, likenesses of their faces. Ezekiel, like John in Revelation, describes the appearance of the cherubs around the throne of Elohim. Each had four faces, a man, lion, ox, and eagle. The faces are positioned with face of the man in the front, the lion on the right, the ox to the left, and the eagle at the back. We must remember, Ezekiel is describing what he sees, just like John in Revelation described what he saw. Another way of looking at the positions could be from Ezekiel's position. The face of a man was first, then to the right of the man's face was the lion, the ox was to the left, and the eagle was behind. So, you know, their meanings, the visions that they both seen is both of Yahweh's glory, but they seen it the way they seen, the way Yahweh gave it to them. He didn't give them the same, he gave them the same vision, but the same meaning, but different, you know, different stories in it. However you want to say it, like that's the best way I could explain it. 13 and 14, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. Verse 13, like burning coals, Ezekiel saw the glow of fire going back forth between the four cherubs. At this point, Elohim's wrath was against Judah for their idolatry and wickedness. Ezekiel relayed the message of Elohim's impending judgment against the nation. The fire is an indicator of Elohim's coming wrath. Flashing of lightning, the movement of these beings was like a flash lightning. The four wheels, chapter 1, 15 through 21. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creature was with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Now I was listening to, as you study and you get these little videos or clippings you can put up. And one, it was this old time preacher, and he was saying that how ridiculous some of the prophecy came out when pastors started reading this. They took like the wheels in the middle wheel. They was like, oh, the airplane. They was really prophesying that he was talking about an airplane right here. And he's like, how ridiculous some people can get with prophecy. That he said, well, what we do now that the jet plane is built, you know, they have no wheel inside of a wheel. It was crazy. Some of the things that people think, how they could just misinterpret scriptures. It's ridiculous. 17, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, verse 20, they went. Thither was the spirit to go, was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, they went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Now, Ezekiel describes the movement of the cherubim, which is probably one of the hardest parts of the Bible to understand or picture. He describes a wheel besides each being. They are described as the color of beryl in the Hebrew. Boy, listen, I played this word about 10 times while I was sitting upstairs this morning going over this, and I exert tarshish, it's great, I can't pronounce it, but it's something like that. Anyway, it's a yellow color stone, and what I thought about was the November's birthstone. It's got that gold tint to it, the yellow colors, yellow jasper. That's what I thought about when I was reading that. Couldn't really pronounce that word, I tell you. Each wheel resembled the other. They had the same likeness, and the rim of the wheel was full of eyes. The wheel described by Ezekiel was actually a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Some have taken it to mean a wheel intersecting a wheel as opposed to an inner wheel with an outer wheel. The wheels are described as having the spirit of the living creatures, the cherubs. The creatures are created beings, and like humanity, they have a living spirit, essence of their life. Ezekiel is describing the body of these creatures in the same way our body is a description of our being, yet in each of us is a spirit. Therefore, wherever the beings went, the wheels went, whether up or down, because their spirit was inside the wheel. The Expanse, chapter 1, 22 through 24. It says, and the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And color is spelled like that in the King James. I didn't spell it like that. And I didn't want to touch it. That's how they spelled it, so I left it. And under the firmament were their wings, straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which cover on this side. And everyone had two which cover on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. Ezekiel now moves beyond the creatures and describes the covering over them in Hebrew. The word is, y'all see that word, meaning an expanse or solid base. He describes these expanses as awesome crystal or fearful eyes. It don't even pay to try to pronounce them, because it sounds crazy, me hearing this, so I could imagine what y'all think. But it says it describes an expanse as awesome crystal or fearful ice. You know, it's amazing the visions, I mean God's word, how they describe it. You know, awesome crystal he don't just says crystal. He wants you to really understand it's awesome. It's awesome, his my words. Like crystal, as in ice crystal, a translucent ice-like appearance was the covering over the four living creatures. Their wings connected together under the firmament point to each other and up under the crystal-like firmament. The noise. Ezekiel uses two terms to describe the sound they make when their wings move. Noise of many waters and the noise of an army. Ezekiel is describing what he sees and hears so the reader will understand the awesome presence of Elohim. The noise of waters, you know, like the waves would be, can you imagine like when you hear waves breaking up on something, the noise it makes, and then the noise of an army, probably army marching. I tell you, the awesome presence of Elohim. And we get to come in his presence on days like today that he sees fit, that we are in right here. He worked out every detail of our life that we can come in just to give him honor and glory. He's so amazing. And I have a couple of more. He don't have them. These are a couple of more slides I put in this morning. I'm not good with the computer yet. The movement from one place to another was effected solely by the will of him that sat on the sapphire throne, who, of course, needed neither wings nor wheels to move from one place to another. The great noise would then symbolize the great importance and significance of Elohim's attention and presence, being to any particular place or occasion. He don't need no wings or wheels to do what he's got to do or to be where he's got to be. The cherubim are the angels which accompany Elohim. Now Ezekiel describes his vision of Elohim, the glory of the Yahweh. Of Yahweh. I forgot to take the out. The glory of Yahweh, chapter 1, 25 through 28. It says, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, at the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Now Ezekiel describes what he sees and hears above the cherubim. He first describes a voice over the firmament. The voice is of Almighty Elohim, the glory of Yahweh, who is seated on his throne. The likeness of a throne. When he heard the voice, the living beings lowered their wings, revealing the likenesses of a throne. The throne is described in appearance as a sapphire stone or replicaperin. The Hebrew described as lapis lazuli, a bright blue semi-precious stone. Likeness appearance of a man. Here Ezekiel is describing his vision of the glory of Yahweh, who will interact with Ezekiel throughout the prophecy. Notice Ezekiel describes Elohim in human terms. Seated on his throne, Elohim has the likeness of a man. Verse 27, and I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. as verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, talking about the rainbow, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. You could have met. Now, when we see a rainbow, we're like, man, that's beautiful. That look, man, that rainbow is pretty. You could imagine the rainbow he let Ezekiel see. We can't even imagine it. You can't even imagine it. And then here's a couple of more I'd added in this morning. It says, right here is the full explanation of this entire vision. It is the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. I fell upon my face. This always, always was the proper response from any messenger of Elohim thus entrusted with such a vision. From the appearance of his waist and upward, like Moses, Ezekiel could not see the face of Elohim. He described his appearance as fire with the glow of amber or melting brass. And in Exodus 24, 9 through 10, and Exodus 33, 18 through 23. You don't have to turn to it. I have one because I read too fast. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the Elohim of Israel. And there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in the clearness. And he said in 18, this is 33. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy. Verse 20, and he said, thou castest not, canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And Yahweh said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will make a way, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Not even Moses. And Moses had face to face with God. We read it just not too long ago in the Torah that when he spoke with Moses, it was face to face, but he could not let Moses see. Not even Moses could see his face. He said he would put his hand over him. That way he can only see his backside. The glory of Yahweh, the term glory of Yahweh, is used throughout the book of Ezekiel for the person of Elohim who is manifested. Ezekiel, like Moses, Abraham, Isaiah, Zechariah, Paul, and John, had visions of Elohim. Elohim chooses to reveal himself to his creation through the eyes of his prophets. In the last one, each vision and description reveals more details upon the one who created the universe, the source of matter and all reality. So I hope kind of broke it down a little bit, each verse or each scripture, to where he's seen a lot, but it all boils down to the glory that he's seen. And in the very first one, they was in captivity in Babylon, so it didn't matter. It's not like, you know, you got to be, like it says, in the Holy Land, or you got to be somewhere where everything is going beautiful for you to where God will give you a vision. He'll show you a vision in captivity if you let him. So I find that reading of Ezekiel was just so powerful, and that his glory and his presence is, like I said, is where we get to come on days like today and just to dwell in it and just to you know, to be in his presence is just so amazing. He's such a wonderful, wonderful father. And I just thank him, love him, and appreciate him for everything that he does. What an honor that he gives me to come here and to share his word with y'all. And I thank y'all for coming. Let's not forget the announcements that was mentioned. Don't forget Thursday we have an important meeting for everybody that's going to Cajun Amish Picnic. So Brother Herman's going to dismiss. I just want to tell y'all thank y'all. I love y'all. And see y'all Thursday.
Intentions of sharing this, but the Lord reminded me of this again. And I'm going to use my experience to exhort Brother Josh and Sister Nicole. Can somebody go get Sister Nicole? You know, last night, yesterday, I got in from fishing. I had a fishing trip. And it was two couples, two young couples. And they didn't have any kids or anything yet. But anyway, we get in, I clean the fish. And the two guys walked off, and the two ladies were there, and they were talking. And I had to pass in between them I couldn't get around because it was on a dock. So anyway, I stopped there, and I got into the conversation with them. And I told them that we was talking about kids. And I said, I have five kids. And I said, and they asked me how old they were. And I told them how old they were, and I said my oldest two was from my first marriage. And the younger three is from my second marriage. And I said it was a lot different whenever I had my last three, because I was, you know, I was born. I didn't bring up anything, but, you know, I'm just thinking about because I was born again whenever I had them three. And so anyway, I told them that, you know, the reason why it was different is because you know, I changed my life, and because, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I was hooked on drugs, and I told him, I give him the whole story. I was on doing cocaine, smoking crack, drinking, smoking pot, popping pills, whatever I can get my hands on. And after I said that, one of the ladies said, you know, but look at you now. You know, it's hard for us to see change. We'll see change in somebody else before we see it in ourselves. And she made the comment at least three or four times in our conversation, look at you now. And, you know, I didn't think nothing of it. I said, yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I look at myself every morning in the mirror. You know, but she was talking about my life. And whenever I got here for tour portion, Tyreek was speaking. The Lord reminded me of that, so I shared it with everybody that was here. Well, anyway, the reason why I'm sharing that now is because, you know, whenever, every time Brother Josh gets up here to speak, I get pumped up. It does something for me. You know why? Because I see where he came from. You know, I came from the same place, but you know something? I can see it in him better than what I see it in me. And I see it. Every time Brother Josh gets up here, it just pumps me up. I can be half asleep back then. Whenever he walks up here, it does something for me because I've seen where he came from. You know, we need to take, and the Lord reminded me, we need to take more credit for where we're at. And look, whenever God's willing to give out credit, I'm taking it. We can't forget the fact that the reason why we're here is because of him. But if God says you need to take more credit for something, I'm taking it. And I thank God for giving Brother Josh the ability to get up here and speak. And I thank God that him and Sister Nicole is following Yeshua and doing what God called them to do. And I remember last year, me and my wife went off somewhere. I don't know where we was at. But the thing I remember the most is whenever I got back and I talked to Sister Nicole. And whenever I left that conversation, I said, this is a different lady that I left a week ago. She was different. I can tell she was different. So again, thank y'all. Thank y'all for following Yeshua and carrying a call. And I appreciate it. And I'm sure I'm speaking not just for me. And I believe that's why God had me say this. Because some people, they're not good with this. And I've gotten better, hopefully. But anyway, I don't speak just for me. It's for the other folks who feel the same way about it. Because I see what God's done and what he's doing. And it encourages me. That's the thing. It encourages me. Whenever I see him up here, I'm like, man, look at that. Look where God brought that fella from. And then I reflect on my life. You know something? He brought you out of that stuff too. So it encourages me even more. I get encouraged twice. And look, I need a lot of encouragement. You know, we all do. So, again, thank y'all, Brother Josh, Sister Nicole. And y'all dismiss. Jesus.